Hi, Jess.
Hi, Sarah.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
Let me read you the text my husband sent me today. I was working and I didn't look at my phone for a while, and I open it up to this stream of texts. And if you know my husband, or I'm assuming anyone's husband, there's not often that there's like text after text after text. It's usually like a couple words or a word.
From the husbands?
Yeah. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's not like if paragraphs I didn't text like you Daniel, and I text each other.
Oh, if I didn't text Daniel throughout the day, we would go without speaking.
Exactly.
I initiate all the conversations. And some days I'm like, I'm just going to see if I don't text him all day, if he will text me.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
We are testing you and you failed. So imagine my surprise when I open up my phone to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 texts from my husband.
Oh no, panic.
And I'm like, oh no. So I start reading through, and now I'm going to take you on the roller coaster I went on as I read them. Cabot just issued a stay and play for a couple weeks in May, and Gillis, his best friend, booked around on May 13th. Are we cool if I go? 2:40 p.m. tea time Saturday. Stay Saturday night, come home Sunday morning. And then 5 minutes later, he types, never mind, it's Mother's Day.
Oh my God. Patrick.
I don't know if he was hoping that I would say, no, it's okay. The round's booked. Go for it. Or if he really didn't know the date, but we'll bring that up on the husband's episode and we'll tell
him.
But two things.
Did he know and he put it out there? And then when you didn't respond right away, was like, oh my God, she's plotting my death. And then he was like, oops, never mind.
Maybe, actually. That is funny. Just kidding. It's Mother's Day. I had no idea. Two things. One, it's Mother's Day. So just in general, no. Another thing is May 14th is Teal to Heal. And he knows that. And we're signed up.
Like, oh my God, Patrick.
Anyway, I'm glad he came to his senses before I had
to. I have a bone to pick with Patrick anyway.
I was on a roller coaster. What's your bone?
But I'll take it up with him.
Both
yes. Ride or die. Come on.
Doesn't like varying opinions.
I know. It's funny. So this list that I have is this imaginary list in my head. Like it's not written down everywhere, but it's up there somewhere in the brain.
In the big, beautiful brain.
In the big brain of people who cross me or like say something I don't like. You're on my list. So the list is just something that I've created. So it's just like, you're on it. It just means I'm keeping an eye on you. You don't have to worry. I'm not going to do anything crazy, but I got my eye on you if you're on my list.
Makes me laugh though, because the context of what it means to cross you, that range is probably very different.
You were probably on my list at one point.
What it takes to cross. I would love to know how many times I've been on that list actually.
Like when you say to me, so, hey, did you submit your application for your bachelor? Social work? And I'm like, you're on my list.
Yeah.
Don't bring it up. I'm trying to avoid it.
Can you do this, please?
Yeah. There's a few people on it. It's not too long. Pat's currently on it. He has a chance to come off. But yeah, he's on my list. I got my eye on you, Pat.
He'll be devastated to hear that, but he'll also have a good laugh when he realizes what it's over. And you'll all have to tune in to the upcoming husband's episode to find out why Patrick is on Jessica's list. Jess, have you watched any good movies lately?
I have been watching A Love is Blind, of course.
Oh,
and
yes.
And you know what's interesting? So I usually when like I don't really have a whole lot of time to listen to like the radio or anything that I'm interested in because it's like I thought you were checking the time and I was like, you are not checking the time on me right now.
No,
you were
not.
Just scratching your wrist.
Sorry, I'm
okay,
just scratching my
wrist. You're on my list. Anyway. I drive Logan to daycare and then I pick him up and we drive home together. So like, you know, not a whole lot of time on my own. But the other day I was going somewhere and I had 101.9 The Giant on and they were talking about The Bachelor and the franchise and how Mike Flays, is a Flays?
Yeah,
Flays, whatever.
Flays. Yeah.
Flays, he's leaving the network.
Oh.
And he's been the executive producer on that show for like a bajillion years. I guess the ratings have like just been plummeting and plummeting and Zach's season was like the absolute worst. So anyway, there's like the people are saying that like shows like Love is Blind and Too Hot to Handle, they're fast, they're quick. They have a lot more wiggle room because they're Netflix. They're not like network television. So there's just so much more room that they can do. Like, it's not good stuff, obviously, but it's entertaining. Like, it's what people want in reality TV. But for me, I love seeing just like the bones of like the original Bachelor. Like, I don't want to see the calf fights from the girls. And I only watched a few episodes of Zach's season, but I really liked how there wasn't any cattiness. Like, I liked how the girls were getting along, but that doesn't get.
I know, but think about it. You and I didn't watch The Bachelor this season, and we've watched like every single season. They've been losing us the last few years. It's too much. They cross too many people.
It's too much. They recycle people, and they need to like condense it.
Some of the shit they pulled, it's just all too much.
I would love it if it was on Netflix, though. Can that happen? Like, yeah, will ABC?
You'll probably see that, maybe. Actually, maybe not. ABC probably owns that forever. That would be
so
much better.
So for me, really, it's the fact that I can't stay up that late and watch, and I don't have record anymore. I can't commit to it. I just can't. And I'm not like upset about it, you know? I'm not mad about it. So I guess it's to your point that like they're losing us.
Yeah.
But the girlfriends got together and ate dip and watched the show. Like, we haven't done that since we had kids. So it's like, it's the time of our lives.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
have you watched any movies recently?
No, but we'll have to ask our next guest what she thinks about all of this and like cable and binging and these different platforms of television. Because she is quite familiar with them. Born in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, Samantha Gracie is an actor, singer-songwriter, and acting coach who has resided in Toronto, Ontario for the past 9 years. Her career began at an early age, touring with her Juno-nominated and ECMA recipient father, John Gracie. Since then, performing has been part of Samantha's DNA. On the acting front, Samantha has appeared in the cult classic VHS2, BET-centric's Single Ladies, Netflix Hometown Holiday, Well-Versed Entertainment's The Influencers, and Hallmark's The Good Witch and Global's Private Eyes, just to name a few. She has also just become a qualified acting coach at MAP, M-A-P Actors in Toronto, and is passionate about sharing her love for the art form and offering new and experienced actors her eye when it comes to heart-first acting.
As a singer-songwriter, Samantha has had great success with her original songs, Hometown Love, which charted on national radio, and Lilacs, a song written while isolated in her late grandmother's Cape Breton home during the peak of COVID. She is currently writing for her first EP with hopes of releasing it in 2024. When Samantha isn't working on her art process, she offers social media consulting and helps produce large advertising and marketing shoots.
Hi, Samantha.
Hi, Jess.
Hi.
Well, welcome. Hi. We're so excited to have you. It's so exciting.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
First of all, I saved this for the pod because I knew you'd have a good laugh, Jess. We talked and she was like, yeah. And I'm like, great. So then I said, would Tuesday work around 8 or 8:30? So 7 or 7:30 your time. And her only response back was AM or PM?
Oh my God. Could you imagine?
I will do it, but OMG.
I will do it, but I won't be happy. I won't be as chipper.
And my response,
and I won't look like this.
Response was like, oh my God, PM. We may be called the morning meeting, but girl,
but we don't record.
Like, forgot to her. It's like the morning meeting. So 7:30 or 8, go to the morning.
That's legit why I asked.
Oh my God. So
My God. We have to explain to the people why we're called the morning meeting, because what if other people think that and they don't know the real reason? It has nothing to do with the morning, like nothing.
But welcome to the morning meeting. We're so happy that you could join us tonight, not this morning. So why don't you just start off and tell us a little bit more about yourself, personally, professionally, whatever you want to share.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I love this kind of thing and I love you girls. This is so fun for me. So thank you so much for inviting me to chat. A little bit about me. I am from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, born and raised. I have tons of Cape Breton connections.
Yes.
My mom is a Sydney girl. My dad is John Gracie from Glace Bay. My mom is Andre Morrison, maiden name. I'm Andre Gracie now. So Sydney, Glace Bay there. And then my long-term boyfriend is from Sydney Mines. So tons of Cape Breton roots. I was raised by what I reflect on now to be a really cool dynamic. I think when I was growing up, I thought it was super normal, but my dad is a singer-songwriter by trade, and he had a really amazing, continues to have a really amazing career to this day. And my mom managed him. So it was kind of cool. Again, I totally thought it was normal to be like on tour with your parents all summer, driving around to like music festivals. And now in my 30s, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so cool that we were doing
that.
So that was kind of like how my childhood kind of formed. And it definitely ingrained kind of that performance bug. I just always identify, I'm most comfortable almost performing and doing that kind of stuff because it's what I was raised on. And it's kind of like my most joyful memories growing up. And then I went to St. FX University when I was 18 years old and made amazing memories there. Anyone who's an expert knows that. And that's also
it pains me a little bit because my husband's going to find so much joy in that. But okay, we'll let that one slide. We still love you.
I know. It's like an identity piece. Like no matter how many years pass, I just always like slip it in there. And then made really, really great memories through that time in my life. And then I moved back home and I started working with an advertising agency. That was really, really cool. I think I had a realization quite quickly though that I went into advertising because I knew that my art muscle was really strong and I envisioned advertising to be a really great way to express that. And it was. I think I was like more shocked by like the back end stuff of it. Like all of a sudden it was a lot of work and organizing. So I loved it, but I was like, I'm going to need to find more ways to express myself. And I started acting in Halifax. I got really lucky. I met with a talent agent there many moons ago and I kind of chalk it up to luck. I landed a couple of roles, ended up getting in the union quite quickly, which felt like such a blessing. And it really came out of nowhere. And that was what kind of sparked the conversation. I remember talking to my mom one day and being like, I just want to keep acting. And at that point, there was only a couple of productions in Halifax. And unfortunately, that whole tax credit situation happened where they were taking away the film tax credit. And we had a really blunt conversation. And she was like, you know, if this is your dream and if this is what you want to do, you might have to relocate. And it was a very scary time in my life because I love Nova Scotia. I was not running away from something. I was not looking for broader horizons by any means. I had a great life and go back to a great life when I visit there. It was the decision to kind of take the risk on this career choice. And I did that like 9 years ago, which is crazy to think. Because I remember being like, I'll just go for the year and see what it's like. And I'll probably end up back home. And I got really lucky and landed something my first year in Toronto. And it just kind of solidified my want to do this. And then Liam moved up shortly after. And we have just kind of been living our lives here, waking up every day and trying to do something new and just kind of applying myself in that way. Yeah, it's been really
fun.
That's
so cool.
Don't you think that's a little bit of like a self-preservation thing? You tell yourself like, I'll just go for the year. I'll just go for the year just in case like it doesn't work out or you want to feel like you're just dipping your toe in or something, you know?
There is a bit, you know, I've gotten past that now in life, but at 24, I was definitely trying to get ahead of the failure. So I think I was saying to people, I'm just going to do this for fun and I'll be back in a little bit. It's crazy. And it's, again, something that I've gotten over later in life, but it was so scary to say to people, I'm going there for acting. And they're like, you're going there for what?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's really interesting to hear your story because I was going to ask what made you want to pursue an acting or singer career, when did you get interested in? And I always just assumed, knowing who your parents were, that maybe that was a dream you had since you were a little girl. Like when you were at St. FX, were you thinking, I want to be an actor?
Nope, not at all. I definitely think music was more in my eyesight at that point because of being really privileged and growing up with a family that would bring me into the recording studio or allow me to sing with my dad on stage at these amazing events, amazing opportunities to perform. But acting was kind of something that I did if I was like in a musical to sing. I didn't really get that bite until, that's a really interesting question because now I'm like reflecting back and I'm like, what made me kind of jump into getting the casting agent? I think I probably did a couple commercials again. Privileged upbringing with parents that were kind of in the scene and they would kind of throw me into auditions for local productions and stuff. But I don't think I was like clocking it as much.
Right.
Then I remember I went to an audition and I kind of remember leaving the audition and being like, that was really fun.
Fun. Yeah. Like,
all that acting is, and that's something again that I figured out later, but it's play.
It is. Oh, so interesting.
So, yeah. Like it really is just about, you could be literally doing the most heartbreaking scene or like the most confrontational scene. And at the core of it for me is how much fun I'm having figuring out that expression. Wow. And so I think that I clocked that really early on when I got one of those early roles. And I was like, oh, this is like singing. Like, I get that same feeling. I feel like I'm exploring these stories. And I've always said, when people ask very often, like, do you prefer music or acting? And I struggle with that one because I think that the real crux of what I love to do is storytelling. And any right. version of that that I can get my hands on, I just love it. And that was part of kind of like my advertising experimentation as well. And what I'm doing now kind of in social media and stuff, it's all kind of has that common thread of storytelling. And I think that's kind of just what like got me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I have, you know, so many, like,
I know, Jess. It's interesting because I think too, again, not to go too deep too soon, but the play piece is really interesting to me because I think that's a really important self-reflection to have, how important that is, because really growing up, that is schooled out of us, right? Like, to be creative and absolutely. To play. We're taught that child's play, that's a thing that children do. And as we mature and as we grow up, we're supposed yeah. to stop doing that. And in reality, that couldn't be further from the truth. But like, our standardized schooling really tries to teach us mm-hmm. out of that, right?
Yeah. So when you go to the guidance office, it's like, here yeah. are the five things mm-hmm. you can choose
yes.
from.
For yes, yes. Exactly. Right? So I assume there must have been, like, it felt so natural and it felt so fun and it felt so joyful. But in your mind, there was probably a piece, like you said, to try to get ahead of the failure of like, I'm just testing yeah. it. I'm just trying mm-hmm. it out. Because you almost have to protect yourself from that.
Totally. And it's actually interesting to talk about that chapter of it, because I remember even the language around play. I've been very, very lucky. I met a mentor, I think it's now like 5 or 6 years ago, Meredith McGeechee. She is the founder of the acting school that I go to now, MAP Actors, where I coach as well. She was really the one to introduce that idea to me. I think that innately, that's what I loved about it. But then I came to Toronto and I went to other acting schools that were super cerebral and linear. And I remember like sitting down my first acting class that I spent like a fortune to go to. And this guy like ends up passing out sheets with like all of this lingo and like, what's the left box relationship and what's your objective and what's your backstory? And I remember thinking, like, I'm pretty sure I called my mom when I left and I was like, oh my God, I tried to get away from math and science and somehow right. I have made this art like mm-hmm. a math and a science.
Right.
So I didn't even go back, I don't think, to the second class at that school. And to preface that, that works for some people 100%. For me, I was like, okay, I'm not having fun anymore. The whole reason that I left my life was because this was supposed to be fun. And then I met Meredith and her schooling and the real focus of freedom, listening to your body and listening to your artist. You know, we refer to, she refers to our bodies and ourselves as the instrument, much like you would play a guitar. You are using your body to tell a story. And this great focus on play and freedom and positive feedback to yourself, like kind of what you're saying, like reparenting the artist
yeah.
so that it feels safe enough to come out and play when it's just kind of been like bashed down
right.
by the industry side of this, which is like auditions and not hearing back and sometimes getting negative feedback and all of that stuff that can really stifle the art part of it, which is what we all get into it to do. That way of learning, what she has imparted on me and what I've held onto, is that this really should be sustainable and it should be fun and it should be playful, or else why?
Yes.
Why am I doing it?
Right.
Yeah. You know what? And that's a beautiful lesson yeah. for all of us, I think. Sorry, Jess.
And I totally. Love that because, like, to me, I think about performing and remembering lyrics and like remembering lines. Like, to me, that would cause me a great deal of stress. And you're like, this is fun for me, right? And obviously, it shows that like we all have different interests and things. But I want to ask about that. How does it all work? I'm so interested to know this. Like, you know, you watch the Netflix Friends episode and you see everyone around a table reading their lines. And then, I don't know, I have so many questions. I'm like, yeah. I don't know where to start. But walk us through, like, so you're cast for this show or this movie. What happens?
The really specific memory that I have is that first one that I got cast in Toronto, the Single Ladies TV series. And that was like, I think I had been in Toronto. And to preface this, I will go years without getting a job, months without getting a call back, sometimes long without an audition and I'll freak out. But when I first moved here, it was probably a blessing from the universe that I ended up landing something kind of early on to give me that, like, I'm glad that yeah. happened because I decided to stay because of it. But I remember I was working at a bar and it was like midnight and I got an email from my agent being like, you have an audition tomorrow at like 9 a.m. It was Halloween.
Oh,
it was a snowstorm out.
Oh,
I was like, I need to get home and learn these lines.
Oh my God.
To this place by 9 a.m. tomorrow. It was terrifying. I honestly don't know how I did it. I was much younger. So I probably just had some like extra.
You rallied.
I got home in like the snowstorm. It was a nightmare. I was like crying in the cab. I went the next day. I did it. It was great. I ended up getting the call that I got it, which nearly like threw me off my feet, which is so funny because we talk about that in acting too. I was like, I've made it.
Yeah.
This is it. Which like, you know, it was done 6 months later and never happened again.
Back to square one. Yeah.
But it must feel like that in the moment. Like,
yeah. It felt amazing. And that was a cool one because it was like a bigger budget production. So I was brought in for the table read, like you said, with some really cool actors that I had known in the community and stuff. And you read through it, so everyone kind of gets a vibe of how the episode would go. And then you're honestly just kind of thrown into it. Like, I remember I was supposed to be best friends with these two girls. We met that day in the makeup room, and I was like, a little Dartmouth girl. I was like,
yes.
And I remember one episode they wanted to film in LA, and so they flew me to LA, and Queen Latifah was there. Like, I was in total, absolute culture shock. Yeah. And it was like, I really didn't know.
I just imagine walking into a room and seeing Queen Latifah. Like, you just must be like, what's happening to my life?
And you know what? She was really, really nice. I have really good. And again, like in this industry, it's fleeting. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing ever. And me and Queen Latifah are going to be friends.
Yeah.
And she's going to want me in all of her productions. And like that obviously.
Her loss.
There's still time.
Yeah, her loss. Her loss. We'll say that. But it's a whirlwind. And to be honest, I struggle to even explain it because it's so different every production. It depends on so many things. It depends on the level of the role that you get. It depends on the production company. Like working with Hallmark was totally different than working with BET Centric, which was totally different from working with independent filmmakers.
Which, can we just give a shout out for Hallmark? Because is Hallmark not life? Like, hello?
No, it was.
Why are you just bypass that? Like, it didn't happen. Like, it's Hallmark. Hello. I freaking love Hallmark. Sign me up.
I know. My grandmother, rest her soul. I remember that was just like the biggest thing. I was on The Good Witch and she was just like,
I love The Good Witch too, actually. And I was like, I know her. Like, here we are. This is wild.
It's funny because like, I obviously watch all Hallmark things and all the Netflix specials and the Christmas movies and like all of it. Like, I just eat it all right up. I mean, who doesn't? Sarah was saying, you know, I think we should ask her, like, you know, we don't miss the shots that we don't take. Like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask. And I was like, okay, like looking it up and, you know, doing my research or whatever. And then the other day I was like, okay, so Samantha Grease is coming on. Like, we were having a conversation. She was like, yeah, she was like, she's in this movie. And I was like, what do you mean?
Hometown Holiday.
Like, Hometown Holidays. And I was like, no. She was like, yeah. And I was like, someone is coming on the podcast.
Actually, I was like, Jessica, I emailed this to you last week. So I learned that Jessica doesn't read my shit, but go on, Jessica.
And I was like, what do you mean? She's coming on the podcast? Like, what movie? Like, what are you talking about? So she sends me the clip and I was like, oh my God, like, I know him. Like, I watch all his movies. Like, is that her? I was freaking out. I just think it's so cool.
And you know what? That's so funny. Like, this is like really honestly nice for me because I don't reflect on these things at all. So it's kind of cool to like...
Imposter syndrome.
100%. And sets or wins never feel like what you think they're going to feel like. We talk about this in the acting community and acting class all the time. Like, you really want the role and then you get the role and then you're like, am I equipped to do this? Like, right. I'm freaking out.
Yes.
How did they ever think that I was going to be able to do this? So it's cool to like reflect on them and appreciate those kind of moments because that one was really cool. Like, and it was so funny. Like, we had a trip booked to Greece for 2 weeks and everything was bought, everything was planned. And then I get the call and they were like, you got this role. It's coming from this to this. And I just remember being like, first of all, so freaking thankful and excited. But then I was also like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Yes.
I got to tell them that we're not going to Greece.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was so supportive and it was a dream. Everything ended up.
Sorry, we can't go to Greece. I'm going to be in a Netflix special.
Yeah. And then it was great because then we moved the trip a couple weeks and it was like funded by the job. So that was great.
Amazing.
But yeah, that one was cool because a lot of times too, you get these jobs and it's before they've been sold. So right. I had no idea that that was going to be on Netflix at all. And it was just a really cool project. That one specifically, actually, I got really, really close to a lot of the cast members. And that was kind of a unique experience too, because we stayed at a hotel in Hamilton for a couple weeks together, kind of just isolated. I think there was three of us that were really tight and six of us that were kind of in the same space and good friends. So I have like really, really cool memories of that one and doing Christmas in July. It was very like movie magic for me. It was the first time that I saw things kind of like being manufactured in that production way. And then, you know, sometimes you don't even hear about it. Like, I don't think I even knew it was going to be on Netflix until I got a message one day from a friend being like, a Hometown Holiday is on Netflix. And I was like,
I was going through your social media and I was just looking back and I was like, look, there's all their friends from like home. And I was just like, imagine texting your friends being like, hey, so my movie's on Netflix if you just want to check it out. Could you imagine that though? Like Sarah, like imagine being like our podcast,
what would even
be comparable? I don't even know, but like texting your friend. Well, I texted my friends and I was like, just so you know, someone's coming on the podcast that's on Netflix. So
yeah, that's our kind equal. Of a big deal. That's our comparison.
That's our equal.
Yeah.
You guys are
talking
really,
to the gal on Netflix.
Guys are pumping me up way too much. You're so sweet.
You know what's funny? When you mentioned your story, there's so many things. I'm like, circle back to that. When you mentioned your grandmother, it made me think too, because you're in it, right? You're so deep in it and it's work for you. And there's, like you said, wins and losses and highs and lows, and it comes and it goes and it's in flux. But we see the product or the outcome and the wins, and it's so... like your grandmother's excited about the Hallmark one or like Good Witch. Like, you know, we know these things and then we see you in it. It's so surreal for your loved ones, for your supporters, you know, but you probably don't have the time to feel that because you do it and then you are on to the next. Or by the time we see it, maybe you're past it.
Or it just kind of gets like, I hesitate to say this because I don't want to not sound grateful, but it gets like kind of saturated, you know, like by that time I'm like,
right,
that was so exciting for me the six, 8 months ago when we were filming.
Right.
Yeah, this is so cool. And I definitely get that rush for sure. Like I was like, oh my God, on Netflix. It was around Christmas, so it was like in the top 10 watch.
Yes.
Like,
that's a big deal. Yes.
But it's interesting, exactly what you said. Like to everyone else, that's the first time.
Right.
And to me, it's like, oh, that's so interesting.
You've already processed
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. And by the time everyone is excited about it, you're probably like, okay, well, that was 6 months ago, and you measure it against what the last 6 months did or didn't bring.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that's such an influx. The nature of the business is so interesting to me. I have two questions. One, to go back to Jessica's, is when you're preparing for a character, do they give you like, this person is XYZ, or is that yours to create? Like, okay, what's that character building like?
So you'll always get like a breakdown. So there will be, for sure, again, depending on the casting director or the production company, it'll either be super vague. So it'll be like a woman in her between 30 to 40 who has a couple kids and yada, yada, just some like backstory stuff. And other times it will be like, you know, really sarcastic, really yada, 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 really yada, yada.
Gotcha.
But again, there are so many different schools of acting and I can only speak to my experience. So there are tons of people that will sit down for hours reading through and being like, okay, this is where I'm surprised, clock that he said this, yada, yada, yada. It's very rehearsed and they want to know what they're doing every second. And that totally works for people. That would totally ruin everything for me. That's a lot of pressure.
Kills the flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, going back to MAP, the schooling that I found really speaks to me. There's a big emphasis of what we bring. Like at the end of the day, these casting directors are going to see hundreds, if not thousands of people pay for this role. What I believe gets you the role, or what should get you the role, is a uniqueness and something that, I'm not a casting director, but I can only imagine that they end up watching all these tapes and there's a couple where they go like, oh my God, I really saw her. Like that felt really real. So it's always kind of my goal to just kind of hit that like really real thing. And there's a lot of ways that that's kind of to get to that. I think the biggest one that has been kind of gifted to me through the study that I do with MAP and my mentor Meredith is really profound listening, because your body knows a lot and it actually speaks to you a lot. we just have so many coping mechanisms out in the real world that can kind of shut those down to make us like palatable and protect us in society and stuff. But if I look at you right now and I say, you broke my heart, if you actually take a second, like you're going to feel that.
I felt it. I did feel it. My chest.
So we're ready. Like, we can go act now or what? Yes, like we're ready.
Can. Okay. Call me, you Netflix. Can.
To me, that is like the foundational level. Like allow yourself to be to affected feel. By what's happening. Yeah. And I don't know if you can get that by pre-planning it. You know, there's always stuff. There's like, I get coached for genre and voice. There are things that are important. There's pacing and rhythm. You're going to attack an independent film differently than you are like a crime drama or something.
Right.
But at the heart of it, I think is truth and finding a way to let your system believe that this is happening to a degree. Like you're safe, but you can like believe that this conversation is really happening. And that's the approach that has felt the most authentic for me. But again, I don't bash any other approach because there are people doing amazing things, doing it the other way. And I'm sure that they take some of what I'm saying into their realm as well. But yeah, so for the most part, I just take a lot of time to memorize lines because that's really important. You don't want to be second guessing yourself in the middle of the scene and being like, totally out of it because you can't remember what the line three lines away is. And also having like opinions about what's happening and just kind of figuring out how, you know, like they could say she's super sarcastic, she's super yada yada, she's super yada yada. But if I am feeling like a line hurt me, I think that it's valid for me to show that. And I think that whether that's the casting director thinks that they want to see that or not, they're not going to know until they see it.
Right.
Well, this is my thing too, because, you know, in the scenes where there's a lot of tears and things, I'm like, okay, if you have to be so focused on that, are you forgetting your lines? Like, are we like Shake on Love is Blind and like putting the Visine in our eyes? Like, or everyone was triggered by that.
Hit a nerve.
But you know, hit a nerve. But I feel like that would be hard because are you so focused on like, okay, my body needs to do this. I need to feel this emotion. But then are you so invested? It's like, you know, shit, what are my lines?
I actually find that when you hit the flow, it's easier because then it starts to make sense. Like there's so many, I mean, writers are so talented in their own skill set that they're talented. They write like conversations, right? So, so once you are actually in it, it's actually easier. Like we do exercises in class all the time where we say like, don't say what you're thinking and then say the line. And very often they're actually the same. Which is like such a cool
thing. That's really cool.
Yeah. And again, sometimes like, again, some actors for sure have the tricks. You know, I've heard of actors like pinching their palms to cry or pinching their skin. That to me, like, I don't know if I don't want to say I don't agree with that, but like to me, I'm like, I don't think that that would work for me. Number one, I don't think that that is truthful. And actually, it was really cool because I remember thinking to myself when I first moved to Toronto, I was like, the sign that you're a good actor is if you can cry on command. Like, how do people do that? I can't figure it out. That is so far from me. I'll never be able to do that. That is like Meryl Streep level. I don't understand. And then I went to a class at the school that I keep bringing up because I love it. And I'm just kind of building a community around me. So it's so important to me. And I'm so thankful to the school for kind of doing that. But I remember I went to the first lesson or workshop. It was like a brother-sister scene. And I'm really close with my brother. And I think she just said, like, take a breather. Like, you're talking to your brother. And I started to bawl.
Oh.
I was like,
give me my Oscar. I can cry.
Well, like, over, was like, I won't lie. Like, it was so new to me that I did feel that. But at the core of it, I was like, oh my God, you don't have to cry on purpose. What I said about the whole, like, you know, you broke my heart. It's crazy how your parasympathetic system can actually understand those things if you kind of like get your brain out of the way.
Yes.
So I feel, and some things are harder, like anger is harder for me than tears. Tears are like, I cry at a commercial. So I haven't had to fake cry in a long time, which is so cool to reflect on because there's so much further to go with so many other emotions that I'm working on getting comfortable feeling on camera. But that one, I was like, oh, acting can be real. Like acting can be.
Oh, definitely.
Living on purpose.
Right.
This brings me to my next question then about like kissing scenes. So like, I'm always like, okay, so you have a lifelong partner. You've been together forever. He's the one. Oh, Kavad. Like,
yeah, no. Okay. Well, I have, first of all, I've been only, I think if I'm being, and I might be wrong, but I think there's only been two scenarios where I had to kiss someone on set. And honestly, this is just like a praise Liam moment. He is like so understanding. I think the one thing he said, he was like,
yeah,
if I don't watch it, don't be offended by it. Like right. I might go out of that one, but this is your job. I honestly think I was more freaked out. Like I remember the first one was in the little horror anthology flick of VHS 2. And it was actually my friend, Jeremy Saunders, who is an amazing actor in Halifax. He's on the Sick Boy podcast. He's the best. I just remember he was with his long-term partner at the time as well. And I just had like the most awkward conversation. I was like, Jeremy, I have only kissed one person for the last like 8 years of my life. I don't even know. Are you going to put your head a different way than me?
Yes. Like, yes. Logistics.
There's so many layers.
The logistics. I was like, if I'm a bad teacher, it's because I'm nervous and I don't do this with other people. Like, please don't judge me.
Have a way that you kiss your partner. Like, it's that certain way. Like, everyone kisses differently and you have your thing that works.
And what if they're a bad kisser, but you have to pretend?
Oh, could you imagine?
There's like 5 to 10 other people in the room behind the camera
watching you.
I hate that.
I was like, I want to die.
Did it feel so weird?
You like,
but then it's kind of like ripping the band-aid off. Like, then you do it and you're like, okay, we all know how to kiss. It's not a big deal.
The anticipation is worse.
100%. Like the night before is the worst.
But are you laying there next to Liam being like, I'm kissing, premeditating my kiss to another boy tomorrow. Like,
it's like that meme of like, what are you thinking about? And it's like pizza and nachos. And like, but it's really like, I'm thinking about kissing this person tomorrow. Yeah. Like, actually.
Yes. And you know what else is funny is Liam actually did, a good friend of ours is a music producer in the city. And he had a girl that he was working with on a single and they needed a guy for the music video. And he was like, Liam's so handsome, like get him to do it. And I was like, yeah, for sure. And I was like, Liam, go do it. It'll be great. You'll love it. And he did it like such a champ, doing kind of the favor for a friend because he's so not in front of the camera kind of guy. And then I remember watching the video and they were like at most holding hands. And I was like, no.
How could you?
Yeah. So I have like such a deeper respect for him because I was like, I'm a chill person. And this was like hard.
Yeah, that's hard.
Well, the handhold I feel is definitely worse than like even like sex because it's like it can be, sex can totally, no, but like sex can mean nothing but a handhold.
Yeah, it's intimate.
That's personal.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's intimate.
That's true. Triggered me.
If you're holding someone's hand, you care about them, you know?
That's
if you're just
true.
Having sex with them, it can literally mean absolutely nothing. It's just a need that needs to be met and whatever. I'm not making excuses for people.
No, that actually makes a lot of sense. I was like, why was I so triggered by that? And he was like, come on. Intimate.
Yeah. Liam's like, do you know what I watch you do? Yeah.
You made me do it.
Yeah.
I remember when my husband and I, we were together in high school. We went on a brief hiatus and then we got back together. And I remember thinking like, he was engaged to this other person. And the only thing that upset me, I was like, held someone else's hand.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so offended. He's like, Jessica, I got engaged. Like, it's the hand holding. I was like, you held someone else's hand as you're driving in the car. Like, that shit hurts.
I totally get that.
It's a deep cut. That is hilarious. Liam and Samantha also are like this model couple. Like, let's just put that in there. I know this is a podcast, but you'll see their faces. Like, two just beautiful people. So I can imagine the situations you're in sometimes that it's like,
well, you're probably like, I have something way better at home. So it's not like, you know, but like you think about.
And it's like I said, it's so not movie magic is a real thing.
Right.
Like, it is you sitting there in awkward silence until they call action. And then the second they call cut, you just kind of like fall off and you're like, okay.
That's so weird because we don't see that. Like, it's so interesting because you're so invested. And like, so you think about the scene in The Notebook with Noah and Allie in bed. And that is a hot scene. That is a raunchy scene. So it's like, I don't get it.
Well,
like,
that one's interesting because I obviously have never been in a situation where something romantic has come from doing that together.
Yes. So
that, I can't imagine that. Like, that's an even more interesting thing because they were probably, I don't know if they were together by that point or at least flirting.
Were they though?
Interested. Well, was there at least some like attraction because they kind of
think
after that movie? Like,
definitely. That's the other that's side like of it. Is just those moments bring something out in you. There's lots of people who end up like together.
Acting, but like really, like when you're in those intimate situations, I feel like, I don't know.
And I don't have experience in that, but it's interesting because like I said, acting is giving over. So oftentimes, like if I'm doing a love scene in class or even a hate scene, like we kind of talk about it at the beginning, like, please don't get freaked out if I fall in love with you for the next 15 minutes. I am not creepily trying to hit on you.
Right.
We're just living this story through. Yeah. So, and it's been helpful. I found it really helpful to say that because at the beginning I was always like, I can't. I am the most loyal person. It's freaking me out that you might even think that I would want to like you in that way. So it's powerful to kind of like say that first and then you have some freedom to play and not be freaked out.
And it's building that environment, that climate of trust, right? Like, which is so important in any relationship we know that we build, but in those environments, especially, right? Sure. There's so many layers of trust there with yourself, with your partner at home, with your acting partner, with the environment around you.
Yeah.
That's a deep one. I was thinking before when you were talking about this, the nature of the industry that you work in and following your creative talent and art and passion, and that you make these beautiful shows and movies and whatever else, and people at home get to watch them. And, you know, your loved ones are so excited for you as you do it. And then I'm thinking of all the times I watched a show, like I'm never going to watch a show or movie the same way again, hearing you talk just in the last, you know, 40 minutes. There's such a deeper appreciation for it all. But I'm thinking back to the times that I'm like, this person sucks at acting, like watching a movie or show and criticizing or judging. And I'm like, who am I to know? I say the same thing. Jess and I talked about this last week, but watching Big Brother and I'm like, this player, whatever. And I'm always like, easy to say from my coach. Or I watch a basketball game and complain about a player. Yeah. And I'm like, as I sit on the coach and eat my chips, like
this person. Yeah, imagine us on there.
The top level of their art form. And I'm just critiquing it from my coach like an idiot.
You know what? I totally get what you're saying. And it's food for thought for sure. But you know what? At the end of the day, this is art. And it's totally your personal perception of it is important. And that same actor, that's kind of like what's the flow of casting. Like that actor or that scene might really speak to someone else. I'm just going to share my opinion on something and people will probably hate me. But like certain actors and shows that I don't get. And then I'll talk to someone and they're like, that is the best show ever. And that actor deserves all of the awards. And I'm like, that
so
is
interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So I think that we're drawn to the mirror and we enjoy watching things that feel true to us.
Mm-hmm. And what a good line, drawn to the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I see that in kind of like what you guys are saying, the more that I understand, because I'm still learning and I'm still figuring out what this art form is to me and what it is to other people and what I enjoy about it. So my taste is evolving all the time. Like now I see people and I'm like, oh, that was actually very cool and subtle. It's just interesting. And also the evolution of time, like acting is different than 10 years ago.
That's so
like
true.
The acting I'm even talking about would not have flown in.
That is so true. Yeah. And I say all that to preface my next question was that it's such a flux of challenges and opportunity and reaching goals and pushing yourself in certain ways. But there are some ups and downs, as you just outlined, right? You said you get this big part and you're so excited and then you might not get one for a few months. Like, how do you handle that instability or that unknowing piece or rejection? I mean, as humans, I think some of our biggest fears just in life is rejection. But rejection is a really present everyday part of the art form you're pursuing, right? Like, how do you learn to live with that? How do you handle that?
I've had, and to preface this, to be honest, I've always been a bit easygoing in that realm. And maybe, I don't know if that's some exposure to the industry from a young age and just kind of understanding that this isn't easy and that it isn't like you get one thing and then you're done forever. Like I saw that not only in my family, but in their peers, you know what I mean? Like everyone in that we surrounded ourselves with were in the music industry, or my uncle owns a photography video production company in Halifax. Like I saw the work that goes into being successful and having those wins. So I don't know if I was primed a little bit for that, because I don't ever remember being like, I'm going to quit because this is so hard. But I definitely was more sensitive in my 20s. And then I had a shift where I realized that I am foundationally more interested in being an artist than I am in being famous or recognized.
Interesting.
And I don't know if that was always the case. I think that that dream has shifted as I understand what I love about what I'm doing. But that was like a huge shift for me. All of a sudden, going to acting class weekly and coaching acting was filling my cup and making it really sustainable. And the whole journey of like self-discovery and again, storytelling kind of became what I became addicted to. And auditions were like the bone. I was like, okay, wow. Cool. This is a cool opportunity to see if what I'm doing in my practice space can translate into this audition cool. And it's going to challenge yeah. me in a cool way. I don't know like when that really happened, but I feel like I know that I'm okay as long as I can continue to do this in some version of itself. Again, whether that be literally just finding time to practice. And I don't pretend to not take part in capitalism and all of that stuff, but it's lost its shininess to me. I don't, you know, obviously, you know, is an easy life making money, doing what you love, mm-hmm. the goal. Of course, I would not say no to that. But at this point in my life, making art and committing myself in a way that it is as important as my main job, even though it's not bringing in money all the time, has been like really big for me. There's just been a shift in like why I'm doing what I'm doing mm-hmm. that makes it so much more sustainable. I see people's lives literally change by what they discover about themselves through acting and yeah. through music. And to me, I'm like, that has yeah. to be enough yeah. or else I'm not a part of this in a mm-hmm. meaningful enough way.
Yeah, what else absolutely. Are we doing it for? Yeah, yeah it's yeah. interesting to hear you speak about that, motivators and what drives us. And there's some unlearning to do there, right? Because what we're taught success meant and mm-hmm. what we were yeah. taught like to strive for and what made a job attractive was the first question is like, what's the salary or what's the, yeah, but that's instead yeah. it's like, is it, are you good at it? Do you enjoy it? Do you love mm-hmm. doing it? Will mm-hmm. it bring you joy? Mm-hmm. We don't always ask those questions.
Like, does it fill your cup that? And does it help you evolve? What I have experienced in the last 10 years of my life, I want to keep experiencing for the next, hopefully, mm-hmm. 60 years of my life, is that I hope I feel this way times like 1,000 when I'm 50. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
that I don't need any sort of validation. And it's obviously human to want that. Don't get me wrong. I get callbacks for things that are going to be big deals and then I don't get them. And I'm like, ugh. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I know that that doesn't mean that I'm not valid in making art.
Right. Right. You're exactly. you're rooted yeah. in your own why, like in why you're doing yeah. it. It's not for yeah. them. It's yours. That's yeah. incredible. Yeah. You talk about coaching, acting, and singing, and we want to touch on both of those yeah. because I know you are just a beautiful singer. And it's so interesting as I listened to you speak the last little while, you're just so poetic in how you share your thoughts. So it's so natural to you to be that artist, I think. Coaching, acting is a newer venture for you, yeah. right? Can you tell us about yeah. that? How's that been going? Does that fill your yeah. cup in what ways?
It's amazing. It kind of, if I'm being really honest, it started as I was just like, okay, you know, I want to do that whole, like, I don't even know what it's from, but that whole like adage, like do your 10,000 hours or whatever and, right. and commit yourself to it. And I was just like, okay, what ways am I not committing or in what ways could I grow and learn more? And so again, my mentor brought me in and we did the teacher training for her schooling. And it's so interesting because again, it's art and it changes every day. So the training really is just about having an eye for what truth looks like mm-hmm. and understanding what openings and what opportunities you can gift to an actor while they're in their practice. And what's been really cool about it, at the risk of sounding selfish, because it's not a selfish act, but it is an opportunity for me to inject myself even more into this art form. Like when I'm coaching, I feel like I'm collaborating. I feel like yeah. I'm a part of what is being created in front of me. And I've been doing this for a while now and I have an eye because most of the times it's resistance, right? Someone will be flying in a scene and then something will come up either in their body or in the lines that is hot for them, that is triggering or that feels weird to say or unnatural. And it's just about cracking that, like, okay, let's get curious about that. Like, what is it? Like, is it your body? Like, is there movement needed? Are you thinking too much about this? Do you have a plan of how you want to say it? And then you're trying to execute it and it's not happening. So it's cool to kind of train from the outside and see what it is that my coach is seeing in my work. So it's like the gift that keeps giving. I'm like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. this is so much cool information. Like, I'm seeing what resistance looks like in my peer. And so I have a better understanding of my own resistance. Right.
Yes.
And what's opening up to me. That's been really, really cool. And acting is profoundly generous. as an act. You are offering your body and your heart and your soul to a story. And so for people to trust you with that feels really important and special. Mm-hmm. And so it adds, again, another element to that, like, foundational, like, the why that we were talking about. I'm like, wow, this is like a connective tissue. Like, we are exploring the human question, human nature, humanity in all of its forms. I don't even know how to say it besides it's so cool. Like, you have conversations with people.
Sounds super
interesting. And you're part of their self-discovery too. They're looking at you like, wow, that was so cool. When you asked me that, I had this total idea of what that was. And because this happened to me and because I'm feeling like this, that was hard. And it was so cool to have that reflected back. And I'm like, oh my God, yeah, that's so cool that you are throwing that out in front of me. Like, that's amazing.
It's such a beautiful example of the importance of critical reflection and experiential learning and education. Like, at the foundation, that's the environment that education should happen in, right? And new pedagogies for deep learning, like, if we're critiquing the system that the three of us grew up in and the reform that we know has to happen because we need to put creativity and innovation at the forefront moving forward. And right now, the current systems don't do that. But the deep learning competencies, you just reminded me of it as you were speaking, because the six C's, so it's creativity, communication, collaboration, citizenship, character, and critical thinking. And you literally, I think, just explained every single one of them in that experience, right? When you're learning, as you're teaching, as you're coaching, as you're assisting, more about you, you're becoming more self-reflective. You're encouraging them to do the same while growing, while evolving in that environment. Like, that collaboration piece is so important.
And fostering real, like, authentic connection with people, like, being there to listen and to also share and to, like, build that. I cry all the time in acting class because I am like, everyone needs to be doing this.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Like, people need to slow down and be heard and also listen and understand how impactful that is like, crazy.
And therapy.
Jessica, I was just going to say, it sounds like she's explaining therapy.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. And we always say, like, you know, and we say this all the time, like, we're not therapists. We don't have the certificates, but what comes up here, it almost like pulls the rug up. And then I'm like, okay, when you go to therapy, you have an idea of what's going on in your body.
Yes, it's true. We almost work hard to avoid that. We almost try everything we can to ignore those signals from our body often.
Yeah. And it's coping mechanisms to, like, survive. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're just trying to get through. I don't have time to feel this right now. Surviving, not there's no time.
Yes. Yeah. There's no time.
Push that aside till next week or next month. Yeah.
It's also really interesting. I think, like, it's even a broader topic. It could be its whole own episode, but to hear you talk about how you grew up and how that was just your normal, right? So you're like, well, didn't we all grow up touring and on the road and around these, you know, amazing people? Because we just normalize so much of our lives. Like, we're in our bubbles and we grow up and this is our normal, and we forget that other people are living in different ways. It's interesting. But I would assume that your love for singing and maybe even your biology, like, your God-given gift to sing so beautifully, maybe is in your genetics. I don't know. But you were obviously exposed to that at a young age. So can you talk a little bit about singing? Was your love for singing, it came first? Was that something you really wanted to pursue? Something you love to do? Do you still love to do it? What does that look like for you now?
Yeah, I love singing. And it's funny, acting, like, I feel like, again, they are always on the same, like, shelf for me. Like, they're very equal. It's just funny, like, at every chapter of my life, one ball ends up running and I'm like, okay, that's, like, my ball for now. That's the thing. It's funny because I've kind of been shifting back to music lately. Like, I'm just really drawn to it all of a sudden again. And I'm playing the guitar more and writing more and just, like, kind of organically. I think I'm just kind of like, okay, this is good. This is going good. Let's come back here. But to answer your question, absolutely. I always was singing. I think the first recording, my dad has, like, this Christmas album and me and my brother are on it singing, like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
So,
like,
cute.
Yeah. So cute. And then we would go on tour and my poor brother was probably dragged up with me. I don't think he had as much interest in performing, but I was always like, I want to get on stage and sing with dad. So I'd always do, like, a little, he'd bring us up for, like, a song or something. And yeah, I always loved it. I was always itching to be in the recording studio with him. I was always itching to sing with him. And again, I really recognize that privilege that I had really young to just be like injected into that and get so comfortable with that. I feel very comfortable singing in a performance setting. So I never had to like overcome that with my love of singing. They were always just kind of like hand in hand mm-hmm. growing up. I was like, I love it and I love doing it. And I want to do it all the time. And it was great. And then I did a couple singles. I did Hometown Love when I first came to Toronto, which was really, really fun. And it was, again, kind of in my like pop dance era as a person. It was what I was listening to and what I was writing and what I wanted to do. And then I think I just matured a little bit in my late 20s and kind of wanted to get back to like my roots, which is a bit more kind of folk singer, songwriter, acoustic, country in a very like early 90s country kind of way. Fake country, because I don't drive a pickup or anything like that. But I love songs and I love narrative songs, like storytelling songs. Those are like my bread and butter. Like I love like the Gordon Lightfoots and the Shania Twains and the Trisha Yearwoods and all those amazing artists. And hugely also influenced by my dad, John Gracie's amazing singer-songwriter. Like again, how you are kind of primed. I don't think I realized until like 5 years ago, listening back to his music, I'm like, oh my God, this is deep, Dad. Like, yeah. This is
cool. Hey, wait, like Dad does this. Yeah.
And it's also cool too, because he was like my age writing them. And now I'm rediscovering his music. Oh,
very cool.
Age.
Very cool.
Like, this makes so much
what
sense.
What a cool way, because it's kind of like his diary a little bit. Like, you know, it might not all be first person experience, but it is an insight to him at that age. It's interesting.
It absolutely is. That's such a cool thing to experience.
Currently, you're also in the world of entrepreneurship, owning a small business, doing different work outside of acting and singing. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I feel any artist will understand this. I feel so lucky that I've kind of gotten my footing in the professional job that you need to sustain the art. I was the starving artist bartending for far too long in my life, and it was totally unsustainable. And I recognized that. And it took me a long time to figure out how to do what I'm doing now. But essentially, I'm working now with Jive Productions out of Halifax, which is my uncle's company. But I never imagined we'd be working together. It really came out of nowhere during COVID. He was like, listen, you're pretty good at this whole social media thing. We're slowed down because of COVID. Everything's locked down and you're not working. Do you want to do some social media stuff for us? And I was like, sure, I'll help out. And that blossomed into like the most amazing working relationship. My uncle, James Ingram, is just such a dream. And we've grown together through his company. So I do some like consulting for his clients. So I do social media for some of his clients and do some like copywriting stuff for him. And through that, I work as well for Armbray Academy, which is a private school in Halifax, and their social media. And also Brigadoon Village, which is an amazing not-for-profit in Annapolis Valley for children with illnesses, Darby, summer camp. And that is like my favorite thing that I do. Again, in storytelling, they just have like the most amazing stories. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my job is done for me just from the amazing people that run that not-for-profit. It's been really cool to find something that allows me the flexibility to do my art. And actually, even more than that, it actually encourages my art.
Strengthens I found people those muscles.
Who understand what I do and understand my strengths that come from that and how I use them in this blossoming business of social media and some consulting stuff. So it's been great. And to keep, honestly, like, not that I'm old, but it keeps me young. I am like the trend.
You are so hip.
Like, oh my God.
If you own a small business, the social media piece, we know how important it is, but it's a whole other skill set and business on top of it.
Like,
when you're trying to provide a service and then do that, it's hard.
What I am met with a lot in talking to my clients is that they understand the importance of it. They're just most times not even on social media themselves.
Right.
And so they're like, how am I supposed to know what I'm doing for this? So that's the kind of service that I offer. And I think that being in the arts and reading and writing a lot lends really well to writing
for
on social media.
Right,
so it was really organic and I never, ever, ever, ever even thought about doing it. It was kind of one of those, I feel terrible saying this because I know that so many people suffered so deeply through COVID and I don't discount that, but I was offered a lot of realizations through that time in slowing down and being removed from my normal and reflecting on what I want to do and what I'm good at and what I have to offer. It was like super out of nowhere and super organic, and it's really fun and really great. And I work with family.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And that's really cool. It's been great.
I think awesome. For all the shit COVID has caused and the heartache and the everything, mm-hmm. horror, tragedy, the whole thing, but it has taught us a lot, okay, right? There yeah. was a lot of lessons that came through the last mm-hmm. few years for a lot of people. It really brought the
There's more than one way of
culture
doing
to the surface. It really brought burnout to yeah. the surface. Yeah. It brought health prioritization, mm-hmm. like what we prioritize yeah. and what we don't to the surface.
Well, and I had this really cool opportunity too, which I probably will never, ever have again. You know, Toronto was shut down for a long time and Nova Scotia was not. So, you know, me and Liam got to pack up and move back home for 6 months and just hang out with my family and my aunts and my cousins. And at the time we were saying goodbye to my grandmother's house, which was like a really yeah. pivotal time in my life. And we got to be together. There was so many like Lessons. Nuggets that I will carry with me for the rest of my life, as hard as it was and as trying as it was. And I don't take for granted that a lot of people had, you know, health scares and health issues during that. But there's something about slowing down and just recounting your eggs, moving forward from there.
And just being,
yeah,
you know, yeah. present, being in the moment. We had nowhere else to go. We had to be.
And understanding how fragile this beautiful world and this beautiful life is, and just not taking for granted the life That's that right. we have.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's 100%. So true. Well, Sam, lastly, if you have any advice for those artists out there trying to pursue their dream, aspiring actors or singers, figuring out how to pursue the dream, if they should, if it's worth it, et cetera, what's one piece of advice you would give them?
I feel like I have like 7,000 hours of advice, but I think the most important thing that comes to me is something shifted in my life when I started saying yes to things, and they don't always work out, but there's always been something that happened. I've met someone, I've understood something better, I've discovered something about myself, opportunities, doors just opened when I started saying yes. So I'm going to go to acting class every week because I'm committed to this. Yes, I'm going to do this audition that scares the crap out of me just so that I can do it. Yes, I'm going to go take coffee with my agent even though I'm so intimidated, yada, yada, yada. Yes, I'm going to go to this networking event, even though I'm tired. And that's not to push burnout, but I just think that so often our resistance is really tricksy and it really shows up in ways that it makes you feel like it's protecting you. Yes. And I just think that in the world of yes, you are just never going to regret doing something. It's offered me every opportunity to learn about myself. And I think at the end of the day, chasing the dream is awesome and it's what you should do. But the real goal is to just get to know yourself and understand why that dream is so important to you. And then put the gas pedal down when you actually get that why and you understand. And understanding also, I think it's important to say that storytelling is valid. It's, it's important. And I'm getting emotional.
Me too.
Me too.
But with the stuff, with all of the great things in the world, with the darkness in the world, and the hate and all of that, I truly feel it can only be combated by real open hearts and open minds. And I think that is the greatest gift that art gives us, is it makes us look at things differently and appreciate and think of others in a different light. And so think that if people are anything you're interested in, any dream, but especially one of art and storytelling and understanding yourself and others better, I think it's more important than ever. And if that speaks to you, then it is kind of your duty to do it.
That is so inspiring.
So beautiful.
So inspiring. Say yes to things. And I know you saw my reaction to that. I just completed my application to the Bachelor of Social Work program. And I was like, well, it had to be 2 months of like, I'm not doing it. I would get so far and I'd be like, no. And then Sarah would message me and be like, so how's it going? And I'd be like, stop asking. And I've had so many cheerleaders, but I wasn't a cheerleader for myself. And it's just so inspiring to say, like, just say yes to the opportunity. Like, it might not work out, but you'll learn something from that. And it's so true. Like, we learn just as much from rejection than we do from acceptance. Like, it's all so important in our lives. Yes. Like, that was so inspiring. Like,
it was beautiful. I was listening and I was reminded of a colleague of mine, and he's my mentor as well. And he always says, he uses the phrase like destiny helpers. So we have destiny helpers in our lives who change the course of our path in some way. And we might not know it in the moment, but when we reflect, and that might come in the form of rejection, or it might come in the form of what we would deem as failure, whatever it is, they were destiny helpers. And it sounds like, you know, you were just saying that, like, say yes. Jess, I thought of you right away because I'm like, Samantha, I always say, trust the timing of your life. There's a reason why we're chatting with you tonight, because I think you were just a destiny helper for Jess. She needed to hear that in a different context from the people who were just trying to get you to hear that in the last few months. And, right, Jess?
Yes. Every episode, we're always saying, like, we're putting that quote on a t-shirt. Like, in our heads, we're going to have all this merch with all these little different t-shirts.
Yeah.
Your episode quote is going to be, start saying yes, or say yes. That's your t-shirt quote.
Yeah, I love it.
It's happening. And we're doing it.
Elise Myers would say, like, do it scared. You're scared. Yeah. Do it anyway. Do it scared.
And also, like, get curious about why it's scary. It's not
Exactly.
I'm going to use that with my 4-year-old. Like, let's get curious.
John Mayer of all
You might have two t-shirts.
Yeah.
Let's get curious.
Fear is a friend that's misunderstood.
And that's I
remember that line from his song all the time. And I'm like, how interesting.
That's
I think
so
there's just so much information that our body is trying to share with us, and we misconstrue it all the time. And I think if we just get curious and we just take the time to get to know ourselves, then it will all come together.
I was also reminded when you said, just said yes. And I laughed in my head when I said, I had a summer of yes after a breakup years ago. I was like, you know what? This summer, I'm going to say yes to anything that I would otherwise say no to in the realm of safety. Like, I kept myself safe. Yeah. You know, some days you'd be like, no, I don't know those people. I'm not going with you. Or I'm not going to this party. Or I'm not going to go. And I just had a summer of yes. I was just recommending it to two of my students. You know, they're in their early 20s and they were talking about heartache in their life and they were dating these guys. You know how it feels in this moment.
We've all been there.
And I said, this feels so real to you. But like, future you will look back on this and be like, thank God. Like,
oh my God, my 20s.
And I said, you have to have a summer of yes. And they were like, what's that? No. I'm like, you have to say yes. Just try new things. Have a summer of yes. Just say yes. I love it.
The 20s. The 20s. They'll get you.
The 20s will get
you. The 20s will get you. The 30s are great. So far, not going to win.
This has been just the best.
It has been so lovely, Sam. You're so beautiful.
I feel so good. This has been so fun. I feel like, again, saying yes to do this. And now I feel like I've had an opportunity to reflect. You guys have like fueled me and I'm just like excited to like live again.
Yay. You're so wonderful. Yay. We usually end our episodes with a would you rather. And I kind of feel bad even asking this right now, listening to this conversation. But I want to ask, just rapid fire, would you rather win an Oscar or win a Grammy?
Okay, you know what? This is not a comment on music or not, but I think I'd rather get an Oscar.
Okay, good.
Because Meryl got one, obviously. Yeah.
I
got
Move over Meryl. That's the third t-shirt. Move over Meryl. Before we go, any favorite creators, Sam, that you're following? You're up in the social media and the trends. We know all the things. Is there any creator or social media personality that you think our listeners should be following if they're not already?
The Morning Meeting Podcast.
And Samantha Gracie Music.
The morning, you got it. But I am so silly on social media.
We need silly.
Okay, but this is like not artistic at all, okay?
That's okay.
That's okay.
Jake Shane, I don't know if you guys are following him on TikTok.
No, but I will now.
He literally just does these little skits. Like, I think he did like, someone said like, do the Mona Lisa after she was done being painted. But he does it like as if he's Kylie Jenner. He's like, okay, send me the raws. I'll edit it. And then he can post like, he has this whole thing going with the Jonas Brothers right now. Cause he did like, he took a call as Diet Coke, finding out that Cherry Coke was coming out or something.
I did see that.
Is he on Insta?
I'm like a TikTok gal these days.
Are you? Okay. I just deleted TikTok. It was,
I have never ventured into
a rabbit hole every night.
Wild?
I mean, it will take over.
Yeah, that's why I won't do it.
That's why I deleted it.
Yeah.
At least you kind of like learn stuff. Like Instagram, I feel like I'm surface watching. TikTok, at least like I'm taking it from like
that. Oh, that's true. Surface, that's very true. It's funny. We talk about this in communication and where I teach, but we talk about like in groups and out groups and how important language is. Even the social media to hear about your clients, like they're not on it. They don't know it. It's a whole new language you're learning, right? Like TikTok, if you're on TikTok, you have a whole new language that those of us not on TikTok, we're like, what does that mean?
Right.
And the sound bites, like on TikTok, sound bites are really big because you reuse sound bites, either mouthing them or putting them over something. And it's so funny. Like, it's like almost like getting a song stuck in your head. Like,
right.
And people will think I'm crazy. Like back in the day when that one, which has made it to Reels now, so Instagram people would know it. But back in the day, like, the, oh no, oh no, oh no,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
I was like doing that everywhere. And people thought I was losing my mind. Like people that hadn't heard it yet were like, are you okay?
This was just beautiful, poetic, inspiring, just funny, emotional chat. We laughed, we cried. It was
a good one.
Beautiful.
It was a good one.
And you just made a whole merch so line fun. From this one episode. Great. It's wonderful. Well, there's so many quotes. So thank you for joining us.
You guys are amazing. It's so cool to be in a space with women talking about this. And I just think it's so important. And I just love what you guys are doing. And I'm so thankful you asked me to come and chat with you.
Oh, thank you. We're honored you joined us.
Now we'll see I have a friend time. That's on Netflix. So there.
Yeah. Text all your friends, Jess. You can do it. This is your moment. Everyone check out at Samantha Gracie. Take her advice. Just say yes. That's your goal. That's your job for this week. Just say yes. Thank you for joining us around the table on this episode of The Morning Meeting with Sarah and Jess. If you're enjoying your time around the table, if you like what you're hearing, tell us. Tell a friend. Wherever you listen to your podcast, you can like and subscribe. You can rate and review. We would appreciate it. It helps us. Help us help you. Make sure to subscribe so you never have to miss another morning meeting. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.